with the ringing of that school bell. You'll want to get your Bible and continue that study with us as we're talking about worldwide evangelism. And we're learning about how the church in the New Testament carried the gospel into all the world. We're doing this by studying the Apostle Paul. And right now, when we left him in our last class, he was in Macedonia, or he was in Troas, and he had received in a vision a call to come into Macedonia. And so Paul is going to cross the Aegean Sea and begin to preach the gospel in a new continent, the continent of Europe. And we'll be reading about that as we proceed. You may want to get your Bibles now and follow with us. We'll be reading about this in Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. And while you're turning there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying this lesson on worldwide missions by way of the Sunday school notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of December 16th, 1923. Now let's turn to our Bible text, Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There was a man of Macedonia standing beseeching him and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. It was while Paul was at Troas, probably the night after he reached there, that this vision appeared to Paul. This man of Macedonia beseeching him, saying, come into Macedonia and help us. This was like Peter's vision at Joppa, like that of Cornelius. God communicated to people through dreams and visions in those days when the church was going, carrying the gospel into all of the world. We read in Acts chapter 10 in verse 3 about Cornelius. It says, he saw in a vision openly, as it were about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And then we read about Peter. We read that Peter on the morrow, this is Acts chapter 10 and verse 9 through 16, on the morrow as they were on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became hungry and desired to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And behold, the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending, as it were a great sheet let down by the four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that was common or unclean. And the voice came to him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done thrice, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. And Peter was wondering what that vision meant when those men from Cornelius came to him. And when he heard what was up with them, he realized that he was to carry the gospel to the Gentiles by teaching it to Cornelius. You know, we read about other visions that Paul had. He had one in Acts chapter 18 and in verse 9. It says there that the Lord said unto Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set thee to harm thee, for I have much people in this city. He's talking about the city of Corinth where Paul had come. And evidently he was a little bit afraid to preach the gospel there as he had in other places. But God came unto him in a vision telling him not to be afraid. And then we read this in Acts chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. It came to pass that when I had returned to Jerusalem, and while I prayed in the temple, I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, because they will not receive of thee testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that I in prison and beat in every synagogue them that believeth on thee. And when the blood of Stephen thy witness was shed, I also was standing by and consenting and keeping the garments of him that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee forth far hence unto the Gentiles. This occurred after Paul had come from Damascus to Jerusalem shortly after his own baptism. And God was telling him through this vision. Christ was teaching and talking to him in this vision while he was in the temple to make sure you leave Jerusalem and you go on your way, because he's going to the Gentiles. We read of another vision that Paul had, a revelation of God's will as to what he desired Paul to do, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Here we read where Paul wrote to that church at Corinth and said, I must needs glory, though it is not expedient, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or whether out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such a one caught up even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I know not, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. On behalf of such a one will I glory. But on my own behalf I will not glory, save in my weakness. For if I desire to glory, I shall not be foolish. For I shall speak the truth, but I forbear, lest any man should account of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or heareth from me. And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted overmuch, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted overmuch. Concerning this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he hath said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul was used to receiving visions from the Lord, and so it would not have come to him as a strange thing when in this night vision he saw this man of Macedonia saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And so we read that's what they did. And this is where Luke makes his first appearance in the Bible story. He joins Paul as they make their way into Macedonia. We read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, And when he had seen the vision, straightway we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Notice the change in the pronoun. He, Paul, had seen the vision, but we, Paul and Luke, sought to go forth into Macedonia concerning that God had called us. Now that's Paul and Luke, to preach the gospel unto them. And so this is where Luke makes his appearance. He first speaks of himself as being in Paul's company. Before this, he says, they. Now he says we. So Luke joined him there. Macedonia was northwest across the Aegean Sea. It was at this time a Roman province. Thessalonica was the capital. They rightly concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. Now they begin to see why they were forbidden at this time to preach in those other places. And so they made their voyage. We read about it in Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. Setting sail, therefore, from Troas, we made a straight course to Samothrace, and the day following to Neapolis. They found a ship in readiness, and a propitious wind at sea, so that they made a straight course to Samothracia. Now that's an island out in the Aegean Sea, and a place where they could spend the night sheltered from the wind by the mountains on that island. And then the next day they went into Neapolis. Neapolis was a way of saying the new town, the new polis, the Neapolis. Samothracia and Neapolis was an island in the sea, but Neapolis was a seaport of Philippi, which was about 10 miles inland. In 2 days, they were across the sea, but at another time, it took them 5 days in making this same voyage in the opposite direction. That's what we read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 6, where it says, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we tarried 7 days. In 2 days, traveling with the wind, they made it from Troas to Philippi. But it took 5 days traveling against the wind to go back from Philippi to Troas. But they came to Philippi. We read about that in Acts chapter 16 and in verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is a city of Macedonia, the first of the district, a Roman colony. And we were in this city tarrying certain days. Philippi was built by Philip, king of Macedonia, and the father of Alexander the Great, and named for himself. It was made famous by the battle fought between Brutus and Cassius on one side and Augustus Caesar and Mark Antony on the other side, in honor of which Augustus made it a Roman colony. He settled it with free men and soldiers, and the colony had its own senate and magistrates. It was a miniature Rome. It was the first of a small district, but not of Macedonia. They were now in Europe, and we were in this city tarrying certain days, yet not seeing just when and where they were to preach. We read in verse 13 of Acts chapter 16, on the Sabbath day we went forth without the gate by a riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spake unto the women that were come together. You see, there was no synagogue of the Jews in Philippi, for the Romans in Rome had cast the Jews out of Rome, and possibly they had also cast the Jews out of Philippi. And so there was no synagogue there. But there were a few pious Jews that had a place of prayer without the gate by the riverside. The river was probably because of the Jewish washings. This was an enclosed place or a temporary structure. To this place, on the Sabbath, Paul and his company went and sat down and spake unto the women that were come together there. The church at Philippi, like many now, began among the women. The first to hear and obey the gospel in Europe were women. These were either Jewish women or proselytes. Most likely, they were Jewishes. This was on a Saturday, the first day of the week. Is never called the Sabbath in the New Testament. You see, things like circumcision and the keeping of the Sabbath and the dietary laws were all things that were there to help the Jews keep their identity separate from the Gentiles while they were among them. And it was a big issue in the New Testament times about whether Christians would be required to keep those dietary laws and to keep the Sabbath day and to keep the to keep that issue of circumcision. But as we've seen, the Christians met for worship on the first day of the week and not the seventh, as did the Jews.